Welcome to Box Office Battle, where we take box office bombs, underappreciated classics, and forgotten cinema and pit them against each other for the right to be on Mount Valhalla. I'm Biggs.
I'm the Beard.
I'm the notorious ZAC himself.
And we're going to throw all of that out the window today.
Well, we're doing two underappreciated holiday classics.
Merry motherfucking Christmas.
So, in Brandon's corner,
I have got Die Hard.
And in my corner, I've got Lethal Weapon. Nope, I didn't watch it. We're doing Gremlins.
You son of a bitch.
I did watch because I got it in my stocking. And I figured, like, we could watch it. My mom's like, you're not going to watch it with your daughter and stuff. I'm like, nah, it'll be fine. This stuff comes off as, like, kiddie stuff now. And it did.
It's super nice.
My daughter, like, loved Gizmo, laughed at the Gremlins. Not a big deal.
2014, y'all.
Yeah, when you use puppets from, like, 30 years ago, it's not scary. It's just not. Do you want to do rock, paper, scissors to see who goes first? Who goes fairly? All right.
For those who are watching at home, they both tied with scissors. Oh. Brandon played paper to Biggs's rock, so Brandon is the winner.
I knew I made the mistake, too.
I'm going to defer to the second half.
So I'm covering Steven Spielberg's masterpiece, Gremlins.
Masterpiece might actually not be a strong enough word.
Yes, I might have the leg up on this one. So Gremlins is the holiday classic about a man named Hoyt Axton, but I think he has a different name.
He sounds like an old-timey baseball player.
A man named
Hoyt
Axton.
He's an old-timey musician.
Who I just found out was a country singer. I did not know that.
And lived in Montana. And the second time Hoyt Axton has made an appearance on Box Office Battle.
But not literally made an appearance because we're not paying
him. No, and that he's passed away.
Minor digression.
Yeah, he's been dead for like 5 or 6 years.
That's a bummer.
Probably shouldn't have laughed when I asked that.
Minor digression. Hoyt is one of those old-timey names you just don't hear anymore, like Doak. So I've decided I'm going
to... Dokes.
If I have two sons, they're going to be named Hoyt and Doak. Just old-timey baseball
Surprise,
player names.
Motherfucker. That's what he's going to say when he comes out
Surprise,
of the
woods.
Anyway, so a man named Hoyt Axton comes into a shop in Chinatown on the word of a little kid. He basically leads him to Gizmo, the gremlin. Or Mogwai, as they call him.
Mogwai, also one of the great post-punk instrumental bands of the 21st century.
Yes.
They're fantastic.
Pretty sure it's named after this movie.
You know, the odds seem in that favor.
Yeah. So the owner of the shop says, no, too much responsibility. And so he won't sell the gremlin, but the kid sells him from behind an alley, sells him the Mogwai.
Black market gremlin dealing.
That's right. So he takes it home and he gives it to his son. Tells him the three sentences. Don't
rules,
feed him after.
I believe is the word you're looking yes. for. Rules.
Tells him the three rules. Don't feed him after midnight. Don't get him wet.
And the
sunlight.
Other one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And keep him out of bright sunlight. And so that's all he tells him is keep him out of bright sunlight, right? So then Hoyt Axton, while he's repeating these rules to his son, immediately says, no, sunlight. Don't put him in the sunlight. It'll kill him.
Which,
Hoyt
by
Axton
the way,
apparently has been doing some experimenting before he brought the Mogwai.
Can we just zoom in on this moment, by the way? This is such a great fatherly moment where you can be trusted to pay enough attention to make sure your kids aren't in danger, but not so much attention that you actually care. Like, it's that in-between land where someone goes, don't put them in bright sunlight, and it becomes a game of telephone to where you pass it on and say, probably not sunlight at all. They said something about sunlight and it seemed dangerous.
Now, everything's going good for about 5 minutes of the movie until Corey Feldman shows up all drunk and seven.
By the way, things are going good until Corey Feldman showed up. May as well be the motto for the 80s.
And of course, immediately gets him wet. It breathes. And then I think
Corey Feldman got a lot of people wet in the 80s.
And then immediately the Mogwai reproduces, like that little Mogwai bounce off of him as soon as he gets wet.
That's what happens when you get wet.
To which Hoyt Axton, after he finds out that he got the Mogwai wet, doesn't beat him. He goes, hey, I bet everybody would like one of these things.
The sexual.
He's like, we can franchise this right now.
Now, I didn't pay like a super amount of attention because I've seen this a million times, but I believe this is the last time we see Hoyt Axton.
Yeah, that sounds
This is
right.
when he becomes the parent in an after school special because he just disappears as all the bad shit happens.
I'm just going to throw out a warning for people listening. There's no way to talk about Gremlins without the sexual innuendo going through the roof. Like, that whole movie is essentially a metaphor for sex and masturbation.
So eventually, of course, the Mogwais eat after midnight, except for Gizmo, who won't eat.
And I think
it's
the rules.
Because they unplug a clock, and so they think it's earlier than it really is, and so they eat, and they go into a cocoon, and then they wind up coming out as the gremlins that we all know and fear. Now, basically, we could go through a lot of things, but we all know the beats from this movie, so I'm not going to waste a lot of time. They run around, they wreak havoc in the town, they watch some Snow White, and then they wind up burning and incinerating and a horrible death. And then also some of them die from sunlight. At least one of them does. That one's name is Stripe. And that's pretty much the end of the movie. The old Chinese guy from the shop comes and collects Gizmo and then sells a son who broke all three rules. Someday you will be ready.
Someday.
So, yeah, someday.
Someday.
Not Gremlins 2.
I know
you broke. Because of Gremlins 2, all the rules are broken again.
Which, by the way, can we just talk about for a moment, if the sequel to Gremlins, if Gremlins...
The new batch?
Yes. If Gremlins 2 was based on that Chinese shopkeeper being honest and saying, you will be ready someday, and Gremlins 2 was all about that character being ready to raise gremlins, that's the most boring movie of all time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's nothing interesting about the Gremlins unless you break the rules.
Yeah, and they even break the fourth wall in Gremlins, too.
Yeah, they do. They got personalities in that motherfucker.
That's another movie altogether. Brandon, I yield the floor to you.
All right, so I'm going to go a little darker with this. Even darker than Gremlins wreaking havoc on an entire small town, but almost burning it to the ground. I have Die Hard, which stars Bruce Willis as the John McClane. He's flying into Los Angeles, not carrying a couple of keys.
Little Arlo Guthrie reference there.
Flies in and gets picked up in a limo at the airport and is going to meet his estranged wife and try and reconcile a little bit. It's the holidays. They're trying to get back together with the wife. Goes to her Christmas party. She/lives there. It's not quite sure what's happening in this tower, other than she's a high up in this Japanese corporation.
Terrorists take over the building?
I'm actually pretty sure that's the IMDb synopsis for Die Hard. Terrorists take over the building.
So,
led by Alan Rickman.
Mr. Potter.
So terrorists take over the, want to get back at the Japanese corporation, take over the Christmas party.
Who takes over the Christmas party?
The terrorists.
Attaboy.
But John McClane hides while they're being, the whole thing's being taken over. He hides in some air ducts and starts wreaking havoc because he's actually a police officer in New York on leave in L.A. to reconcile with his wife.
It doesn't work out, by the way. I saw Die Hard 4.
No, it didn't work off. It didn't work out in the first one much either.
Well, I mean, in the second one, they get back together, right? And then she's like, why does this always happen on Christmas?
Yeah, you know that, like, that whole relationship is not happening.
Yeah,
like,
we can't talk about these movies without the sequels a little bit.
For people who haven't watched Die Hard, it is not the most healthy romantic relationship in pop culture. It's just
no,
not.
Like, he shows up and they immediately start fighting. So you had mentioned Hans Gruber, played by Alan Rickman.
Mr. Potter.
And if you want a visual representation of Hans Gruber, I think he was the missing third guy in the Lonely Island Dick in a Box guys. He has the silk suit with the beard, like the Euro trash haircut. Just
a dark beard.
My dick is in the box, Mr. Potter.
So,
Mr. Potter.
Yeah.
I think we're getting our movies mixed.
Dude, I've been saying that for a good 20 minutes now. Anytime someone says Alan Rickman, that's what I say.
But I'm drinking eggnog, so.
This is a loosey-goosey podcast.
So they're, John McClane's fighting against the terrorists. He's really wreaking havoc, killing them off one by one. There's about 13 in all, 12, 13. He manages, until the final scene, to kill off about 9 of them. Meanwhile, the terrorists have pretty much blown up the building, almost succeeded in every single goal they have had.
That's problematic.
Yeah, and they actually blew up or destroyed a room he was in. John McClane basically got caught with his, not quite his pants
Surprise,
down.
Surprise, motherfucker.
There's glass everywhere. He cuts the shit out of his feet, and then he gets really pissed. And
I like that. So things are going bad, and he's angry. But then he gets really pissed.
Then he gets really pissed and takes it personally out on Hans Gruber. They have a final epic battle. There was one other terrorist other than Alan Rickman who had been kind of wanting to kill him, but Hans Gruber really wanted to just, like, isolate him, like, lock him in this, like, tower so we can get our shit done. And he's like, no, I must kill this man. And so he took it personally, ends up with his getting his shit handed to him. Terrorists die. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Die Hard, while there's a lot of sweat and adrenaline, not a lot of the female element, but my movie, Gremlins, Phoebe Cates.
Strong point.
I think we all remember how hot Phoebe Cates is, right, guys?
Phoebe Cates is the hottest person who ever did live.
I can't even, like, argue against Phoebe Cates. I just can't even go there.
Yes, I win. I win.
But what I will have to say is, no, as far as Christmas music goes, Die Hard has it. It has it. It has Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC.
We have the Snow White theme.
That's not Christmassy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there.
There's not a single Jingle Bell in that motherfucking song.
There is. They do sing Jingle Bell Rock in part of it, though. They're walking around town.
But
shopping.
That does not in beat Christmas in Hollis.
But not in the Snow White scene. The dwarves don't just stop and start singing Jingle
Some
Bells.
Some of them are wearing Santa hats.
I mean, they're not Santa hats, they're dwarf hats.
Yeah, that's racist against dwarves, damn it.
No. The gremlins are wearing Santa hats.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You're right. That's true.
I'm pretty sure, anyway.
That sounds right. Google image search that.
Okay, so all the stuff I argued about there applies. But I'd also say, so this movie was able to come up with one of the best lines in a Christmas movie ever, which was, they're watching Snow White, and I think they like it. It's great, dude. So you guys couldn't even giggle in spite of yourselves. You didn't want to giggle at that, but you had to. It's just funny. You'd never picture a grubby little gremlin like in Disney movies.
Don't get too far ahead of yourself. I know the right time to laugh at any joke, regardless of whether or not I get it.
I guess we have had a few times.
All right, so, you know, you had the line, and I've already spoilered the line from Die Hard being yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, which actually came out twice in this movie. So you can't really top that with Snow White.
You're right. I can't top that line. It's a great line, which was then run into the ground and Die Hard or Die Hard with a Vengeance. Die Hard with Kevin Smith. Die Hard with Russia. I don't know. I don't remember the last two names, so just bear with me here. But here's the thing. Gremlins knew when to stop. They did one sequel, and they were like, hey, that's enough. We're not going to spoil the Gremlin legacy any further. Because they already knew they captured lightning in a bottle with the first one. And then they shit out the second one. They're like, all right, we're done.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
After the second one, was it, okay, this is enough? Or after the second one, did people realize, oh, we don't want any more gremlins? Was it the studio's decision or the audience's decision?
For the sake of this argument, I'm going to say that it was the studio's decision.
All right, now I know where you're leaning.
So funny you should bring up sequels. Die Hard had 4 sequels to them.
That's probably too many.
Yeah.
But
it's definitely too many.
It made $1.3 billion in box office sales.
That's more than I've ever made.
What, like all the movies together?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I don't have the numbers since you fucked me on Lethal Weapon.
it's not that much. But I will say,
the Lethal Weapon series had $9.8 million box office total for all four movies.
That's an excellent point. But once again, Gremlins made their point. You know, in the first one, they decided that's enough. We'll just do the second one, which is almost straight to video because it's contractually obligated, perhaps. I don't know. I don't know the details. But here's the thing. I know if you put out movies in the 90s and in the 2000s, the gross is going to be way up on that. I'd be interested to see the ticket sales because I'm betting Gremlins, wildly successful. Die Hard did all right.
All right. $300 million, all right, in the 80s.
It did not make $300 million, did it really?
Yes, it did.
Is that including, like, Blu-ray sales?
No, that is just box office sales.
All right, well, that's impressive. I'm going to say that right now.
I got nothing.
That's your point? All right, fair enough. I just got to lean on one more point here, and then I'm finished, because I don't have to say a lot about my movie, because it's such a fine piece of cinema. It's easily one of the, you know, I'm not going to get ridiculous. I know sometimes I come out here and I'm like, one of the best movies ever made. I'm not going to go that route. That's ridiculous. It's not one of the best movies ever made. Easily should be on the AFI's top 100 movies ever made, though. Like, maybe like number 89 or something.
You know what? When you think of action movies, Die Hard is up there. It's one of the first you think of. You think of Lethal Weapon. You think of Die Hard. That's what you think of when you think action movies. This movie defined action movies.
Okay, so I have to deliver this to Biggs first. Biggs, one of the smartest decisions you've ever made was choosing Gremlins instead of Lethal Weapon. Because when I came in here thinking it was Die Hard versus Lethal Weapon, I knew the winner before we even walked into the recording booth. I knew who was going to win that battle. But because you changed it to Gremlins, one of my all-time favorites, I didn't know where to go. So I've had to listen to both these arguments, and despite being in a firm diehard trench, I've been swayed. So I have two questions that I need answered before I can decide a winner. The first question is, what is your film's best catchphrase?
I mean, I hate to say it, but my favorite catchphrase is the one I already said. They're watching Snow White, and they like it.
All right, that's that entry. Brandon, what is the best catchphrase from your movie?
It's yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Attaboy. All right. Second, the reason I said attaboy is because there was a real moment after I asked that where I looked in Brandon's eyes, and I genuinely feared he would choose something other than that.
Is this a trick question?
If you had said something other than yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, you would have automatically lost.
It was so good they said it 15 times.
He would have automatically lost if he didn't say that. Second question. If you were to take the male lead of your film and put him into a romantic comedy, would I root for him?
I can't give you the names of them, but Zach Gallagher was in romantic comedies, and you totally root for him. He's really charming. He's got those doe eyes, but he can still, you know, he can tell the guys like, hey, I'm one of you. I like to watch hockey.
You're pandering right now.
I'm not pandering. I think he liked hockey in his movie. I'm pretty sure. I don't remember the name of it, but it was some romantic comedy in the 80s. And I think it was something around him liking the Sabres.
Okay. If that's a real movie, I'm watching that on Netflix tonight.
It is. Don't look it up. It's from Canada. You might not find it. Anyway.
I have to say, we have seen this romantic comedy. It has Liv Tyler. Liv Tyler is his daughter, and he saves the human race in Armageddon.
Is that a romantic comedy, though?
You know, you had me until you said Armageddon. I thought there was maybe a different Bruce Willis, Liv Tyler movie that I was... All right, well, you guys have made it.
Then he roots for the Sabres. And
I mean, I would have gone Moonlighting, probably. That was basically a romantic comedy show. But okay. He didn't answer that. I just got to say that. He didn't answer the one with Booger.
Oh, Booger. All right, so you guys have successfully made it no easier for me. So I'm about in a holiday miracle. The kind of thing that only happens once a year, if that. The kind of magic that can only come about when the snow is falling.
Santa Claus!
And the world is at peace, and Santa Claus is coming, and families are back together, and lovers are holding each other in their arms. There's only one thing I can do, and it's unprecedented on this show.
Is it throw a gremlin in the microwave?
No, that's not unprecedented. Although I'm sad it took you this long to mention a gremlin in the microwave.
I just thought about it.
Because that would have been you winning had you mentioned that in the arguments.
I think I mentioned before the judgment. Is that
no, count? Because I'd already made my judgment, which is to say, I'm going to do something unprecedented. In the first time in box office battle history, there's a tie. Because I cannot decide between my love of the greatest action movie that's ever been made, the action movie that all other action movies are judged by, and so many action movies have ripped off, or Gremlins, that sort of counterculture, quirky comedy, holiday family classic that could only exist in the 80s but has a sort of echo effect into modern day. I can't choose just one, and so I have to bring them both together. So I insist, that these two movies, married together as if their two posters are one, exist on Mount Valhalla together.
With a Christmas tree in the middle.
Ooh, that's kind of sexy.
I like the idea, but that's a lot of work.
I want you to look at me in my eyes right now. I want you to look at me in my eyes. And I'm going to say this very seriously. Can you find in a quick Google image search the poster for Gremlins? Yes or no? Yes or no? Can you find in a quick Google image search?
Yes.
Can you find in a quick Google image search the poster for Die Hard?
Yeah.
Put both those motherfuckers up there next to each other. They are tied. They are tied.
Can I suggest a tiebreaker?
No.
That's out of your hands?
No, absolutely not. I insist on a tie.
This is controversial.
I insist on a tie. I am the judge. And I am law. I am the law.
There is so going to be an asterisk on this.
Tie. Because you can't make me choose. If it had been Die Hard versus Lethal Weapon, Die Hard would have won. But because you made it Gremlins versus Die Hard, two diametrically opposed things, they exist on the polar opposite of the spectrum. They do not become one thing. They are the polar opposite. They represent the extremes a film can be in. And somehow, because of this dichotomy, they are equal. Because they balance one another out. You cannot have inherent monster ridiculous without action ridiculous.
You have to
have both existing equally.
I could just picture, what's the name of your guy again? Hans Gruber?
Hans Gruber.
I could picture Hans Gruber going up to Gizmo right now and saying, "We're not so different."
They aren't so different.
And I don't know why I did a Russian
accent. And if anyone out there, whether it's one of you two or a listener, complains, my word is law. I'm the captain now. I'm the captain now.
Well, I'll accept it since I stopped actually physically doing Mount Valhalla. I literally changed it 2 days ago and decided I'm not wasting my time doing this anymore.
I don't know what's sadder, the fact that you stopped doing it or the fact that I didn't realize until in this moment right now that you stopped doing it.
Yeah, there's a curtain with an old-timey microphone that's above it. It says not safe for gathering. I was just like, fuck it, I'm done doing this every week. I hadn't updated it for like 2 months and I was done.
You're still keeping track of the winners though, right?
Yeah, I have them in my computer.
Awesome. So this is a tie.
Okay. I'll remember that.
All right. So what do you grade each of these movies?
Me? Die Hard, excellent plus. Gremlins, excellent plus. These are two masterpieces of their respective genres. Die Hard is, if not the greatest action film ever created, the most influential, and I can't think of a single person who would argue with that. What action movie hasn't been influenced in some way by Die Hard? It is the King Arthur of the action genre. Now, Gremlins. Gremlins is a little more under the radar. Gremlins has sort of burrowed its way under our skin like a chigger in the South. Chigger is a type of bug that gets under
I got it.
I'm saying this more for the listeners who might think I'm being offensive. A chigger is an actual type of bug that burrows under your skin. Now, the reason I say this is because Gremlins is a sleeper. Gremlins is one of those things you grow up with. You know, the adorable, fuzzy little monster. You laugh at it. You've seen the movie. You get it. You don't understand this sort of mix of poignancy and depression that movie carries until you watch it as an adult. That movie's something special. Gremlins, Die Hard, both excellent pluses. I will not waver on this.
Now, I would have disagreed with you about Gremlins because I agree with everything you said about Die Hard. The thing with Gremlins is it's aged in just that perfect way where it's like so bad it's good.
Absolutely. We'll not disagree.
Like, when I was a kid, I was convinced it was good. And I watched as an adult, I'm like, this couldn't have been good when it came out, but it's hilarious now. It's
very entertaining. Like,
the puppetry has just aged perfectly to where it's hilarious.
Let's put it this way.
Just for the puppetry.
If you put on Gremlins, you watched it recently, right, Biggs?
Yeah. On Christmas.
When you watched it.
I literally watched it on Christmas while we had all the kids over running around. We watched Gremlins.
While it was playing, did you have any urge to stop it and put something else on?
I did when I left the
wrong room. Answer. It's a masterpiece.
Well, you asked me and I'm telling you the truth. There was like a 3-year-old running around and I heard certain sounds that made me think that maybe it wasn't okay. And I like popped over and they were laughing at the gremlin in the microwave. So it turned out to be okay. So it was more of a fear of like,
oh, so you thought there might've been some sex stuff is what you're saying.
No, I thought that there might've been something that was so violent. It was going to freak out the little kids.
That's not the case in this film.
No, they thought it was hilarious.
That is not, there is nothing so violent in Gremlins that a child can't watch.
But you never know how a child's going to react. I'm here to tell you, like, the children that watch it with me totally reacted great, like just like it should have been, but you just never know.
Sure, so. Of course. Yeah, it's a roll of the dice every time you put on a movie for the first time with a child.
Yeah, so I would go excellent plus with Gremlins. So two things with Gremlins and then one thing about Die Hard I want to say really quick. So the first thing with Gremlins is when I was a kid, my brother had a Gizmo doll, and I made a hangman's noose for it and hung it from his ceiling. And I went to my brother, and I'm like, you better check on Gizmo. He was looking really depressed. And so I ran into his room and saw Gizmo hung himself and, like, cried for, like, a day. I'm a dick, but it still makes me laugh.
I am so glad that this is on record for the public.
I don't think it's the first time I told it on a podcast.
Maybe not. It's the first time I remember hearing it, and that's a great story.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And my mom was pissed. It's really nice when you're an adult and you can retell that story, and your brother and mom laugh, though, because time has passed. There wasn't no laughter at Alex's age 9. Like, no laughter at all. Also, my mom wouldn't let us watch Gremlins, but we had a babysitter who didn't see any problem in it whatsoever. And so we watched the entire thing. Oh, my mom was pissed, dude. But before we ever watched it, she gave my brother a Gizmo doll. So go figure, dude. She got us some merch. She had to know we were going to see it eventually.
You just reminded me why I'd make the worst babysitter ever, which is mainly in that and be like, well, he's 8.5 and he's almost asleep. I can watch Drive right now. He won't be scarred.
You would be a terrible babysitter.
I'd be the worst babysitter.
Anyway, so another interesting thing about Die Hard, that movie was originally written for Frank Sinatra. It was to be a sequel to a movie that he did. I could not tell you the movie off the top of my head, but Die Hard was written as a sequel to a Frank Sinatra movie. Frank Sinatra didn't want to do it, but didn't officially say no. And so it basically sat in stasis for about 20 years. And then finally they had the completed thing. And they had it where they had to offer it to Frank Sinatra. So Frank Sinatra, age what?
98.
65, 70, like somewhere around there. They fucking went and offered him that movie. And he said no. And then
like
gave it to
like
Prince
a normal Wallace. Person. Like if you're 65 and someone says, hey, do you want to be the male lead of Gremlins? You go, no, you fucking asshole.
No,
why
die
are you
hard,
asking?
Die Hard.
Sure, okay, fine. If you're six,
that'd be even weirder.
Let me rephrase it. If you're 65 and someone comes up to you and goes, hey, do you want to be the male lead of Die Hard? You go, no, you fucking asshole, I'm 65. Unless you're Roger Moore.
Yeah, and then you get a view to a kill. But I kind of want to see the version where Frank Sinatra like crawls through air ducts and says yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
And wears a wife beater that's super tight against his pecs.
It starts out white and ends up like chocolate by the time.
And you know they would have casted the rest of the Rat Pack in that movie.
Of course, Sammy Davis would be Hans Gruber.
And Dean Martin would be Carl.
Of
I don't know his actual name, but, you know, Carl from Family Matters.
Yeah, Carl. Yeah.
Playing the same role that he plays in Family Matters, although there's no Urkel.
Which
is
way,
a great move.
That's the only flaw you can put against Die Hard is that Urkel's not around.
Oh, he's of that age.
If Urkel showed up to die... No, hang on. Bear with me. If Urkel showed up for a moment and was like, oh, did I do that? And then he just got blown up by Hans Gruber, you wouldn't laugh? You're going to tell me you wouldn't laugh?
I couldn't even handle that. No.
I laughed at it in Key and Peele.
There you go. It's basically the same.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to give both of those movies an excellent. I won't go excellent plus, but I will give.
Why? Because you're a coward?
No.
Dude, your filter is gone.
It's gone. It does not exist.
No, I just don't have that much respect for that to give it the excellent plus. It just doesn't, it's not at that level for me.
That's a problem between you and me. That's a problem.
It's just a little plus, Zach.
It's the most important plus.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I was going to go excellent for both of them, but I looked at Zach's
eyes. Oh, I would have fought you. Yeah, I would have fought you.
I was afraid, dude. I was looking at beer bottles over there, like them being broken over and shoved in my neck. I'm like, nope. Excellent plus. I was like, I was going to just go excellent, but, and I like quickly explained that, like how great it was. Like you could see the wheels turning.
I've exerted my will over this episode.
What was really interesting is, like, thinking back on Gremlins, it's one of those movies that has not gone away. Like, I really thought it would have over the years, but
hold on. Time out. When you say you thought it would have, do you mean you hoped it would have?
No.
Okay, good, because
I still have this love in my heart for Gremlins.
Okay, good.
I just, like, am surprised every year when I see it come out on Black Friday. It's like it's in the display, like every Black Friday
it shows up,
and I'm just kind of amazed by that.
Yeah, that shit's got a life, man.
Credit to Gremlins
and
credit to Die Hard.
And it was really interesting. I feel really old, like, because I remember going to kindergarten with a Gizmo backpack.
Yeah, you did. Attaboy. That's punk rock. I don't care what anybody
and
says.
It was like this, like, old Army, Navy, camo, or green.
Like that
backpack.
Weird sort of, like, olive poop green.
Yeah, and it's like the same fabric as you see, like, old Army jackets you see in the Army Navy store. Yeah. Like, and it had, like, the gray green straps on it that were just, like, webbing.
That sounds hideous and beautiful all at once.
You know what was weird was...
I had that thing forever.
When I was a kid, I had, like, a Stripe action figure. And it was probably, I'd say, maybe 2 inches tall. And I would, like, we'd get into fights between Stripe and Gizmo. But Gizmo was fucking... It was the size of my head now. So it was pretty big. And then, like, you'd look at this little Stripe. And I remember thinking when I was a kid... This isn't fucking fair. Like, Stripe is the more vicious one.
Hey, like, and Gizmo played off a Rambo.
Yeah, he played off a Rambo, but Stripe was the more vicious one. Like,
it's true.
Stripe was the one that was kind of scary.
Stripe would fuck you up.
Out of all the gremlins, was the one who's like, don't fuck with that gremlin.
No, he's got a mohawk. He's a badass.
Which, by the way, is the exact same theory that led to Puck being the badass in Glee 10 years later or 20 years later, however long it was. If you have a mohawk, you're a badass.
It's true. Except for in Glee. I don't know what you're talking about.
Listen, I've seen some shit and I have opinions on it that I'm the only one in this room who has opinions on.
Yes, you are. Well, fill those seats so we don't have to...
Hello, what can I do for you today?
Well, I am looking for Christmas presents for my family. Just, I really let it go this year. Do you have anything good for me?
Of course, the We Had a Good Life podcast, which you can find on the Not Safer Network.
A podcast? I guess I was thinking more like a Furby, maybe?
Maybe Montucky Skies is more up your alley.
Is that also a podcast? Because again, I'm looking for something a little more tangible.
Podcast? Why, speak no further. We've got Box Office Battle.
You know, I gotta say, I'm beginning to feel like you're not listening. listening to me again, looking for gifts like I can put in a box or a bag and wrap them for my friends and family.
Perhaps shooting the show would be more your speed.
You know, work with me, not for me. Let's work as a, let's try to attack this as a team. Again, gifts, family.
Is your family into art?
Sure, yeah.
Well, then the Thin Man podcast would be right up your alley.
All right, do you have something that's not a podcast? Because this is a little frustrating.
Real Roulette isn't a podcast anymore, but we do have the archives available on the Not Safe for Network.
I mean, it seems pretty clear at this point you have an agenda. You're not going to sell me the toy robot. You're not going to sell me the beautiful handbag. And you're not going to sell me that cool poncho. What are you going to sell me?
That's debatable. It's a podcast about arguing.
You know, I gotta say, at this point, I feel like I understand arguing. So, I'm tempted, but again, not what I'm looking for.
So you're looking for something tangible that you can hold in your hands?
Ideally.
Well, why not the Not Safe for Network podcast, which you can hold in your hands on your iPod or MP3 player?
Sure, that counts.